morning. Today we again follow the order of service printed out in your bulletin, and our opening hymn today is hymn 953, We All Believe in One True God, hymn 953. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. We pray. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. The Bible tells us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, We poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore plead for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and the stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 505, Triune God, Be Thou Our Stay. And we sing not the first verse, but 1, 2, and 3 below it. Thank you.
God, which we consider today, is recorded in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 8, the first 17 verses. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's pray. O Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to understand your word, that you would teach us and strengthen us that we might walk in you rather than walk in the flesh. We pray your blessing and guidance upon the speaking and the hearing of your word this day in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter, along with chapter 7, are perhaps difficult for us to understand. I know that I struggle with understanding fully all that St. Paul is saying here in these chapters. We saw in chapter 7 a few weeks ago that there is this struggle in our lives as Christians because we have our old sinful nature, but we also, through faith in Christ, now have the Holy Spirit and a new spiritual life which loves God's word and seeks to live in accord with God's word. And St. Paul even writes in chapter 7, for example, at verses 15 and 16, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." And he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And toward the end of this chapter, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And then we come into chapter 8, which says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And in so many ways, this all comes back to Romans chapter 3, where we see that all of us by nature are sinful. There's not a one of us that is good. And that we are justified not by anything that we do, not by the works of the law, but we are justified through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, we read about this, where it said in verses 19 and following, "Now we know that what things soever the law says, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And so, as we read in chapter 7, the law is good and right. It reveals to us God's holy will. And as Christians, we agree with God that this is good, this is right. And as Christians, we desire to live according to that law. However, because of our sinful nature, none of us are able to keep that law. And we come back to, you know, these verses, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." But then it goes on to say, "The righteousness of God without the law is manifested," or revealed, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." And so through faith in Jesus, we are justified and counted righteous. But as believers, we have this struggle, because now we have a new nature which loves God and seeks to obey his word. We agree with the law. We agree that the commandments are good, but there's this problem. We cannot keep the commandments as we should. What we want to do, we don't. What we don't, that we do. Now, this is not an excuse for sin, and many people like to take some of these verses in chapter 7 as an excuse for sin, but rather this is just stating the way things are. Now, as Christians, we believe God's word. We acknowledge that all God's commandments are good and right. And we want to live our lives according to them and be pleasing to God, because we have been redeemed by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus. But according to the flesh, according to our nature, we are unable to do so. This chapter is not really talking about, you know, those gross sins of the flesh that, you know, we realize that they're wrong and we choose to disobey and to put everything on the line, so to speak, hoping that God will graciously bring us to repentance again. But it's talking about our everyday lives. You know, we know what's good and right. We seek to do what's good and right, but even our best works are tainted because of our sinful nature. We can't measure up by the works of our flesh, by what we do in this body. For example, you know, I may preach a sermon, and I may seek to make it the best I can and to be as faithful as I can. But because of my limited understanding, because of sin, there are things that I should explain that I don't even grasp. I come short. Or we may do some work to help someone else, and, you know, by everyone's standard, oh, this is a great work, but part of our motive might have been, well, everybody will think how good I am. And so the motive may be wrong. We just can't measure up. Because even what outwardly appears good and right is still tainted by sinful thoughts and desires, because we fail As long as we are in this body, we fail to live up fully to what God's law requires. I read an illustration about a woman who was a teacher or homeschool teacher who was able to, you know, was teaching English and was drawing these fine letters, explaining, you know, to the children how to make all their letters. But as she got older, she had Parkinson's. And so she did the best she could, but these letters were shaky. And that describes really kind of how we are. We seek to serve God. But even when we seek to make the lines as straight as we can, because of our sinful flesh, they end up, you know, with jagged lines or crooked. They're not as straight as they should be. And so no matter what it is that we do in life and live for the Lord, according to the law, which we try to keep, it still doesn't quite measure up. Our sinful flesh just cannot keep the law of God as he requires. And so we're in this predicament, like St. Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" We desire to live for our Lord Jesus Christ because he died for us and rose again. We desire to be pleasing to him. We believe the scriptures that God's commandments are good and right, and that everything he says is true and right. And yet when we try to live according to them, even our best works, according to the law of God, come short and are of themselves unclean and filthy rags in God's eyes. And so in this life, no matter how hard we try to live for our Lord Jesus, no matter how hard we try to live our lives according to God's word, the lines still aren't going to be straight because we have a sinful nature, which just cannot live up to God's law. And that's where chapter 8 comes in. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so those of us who walk in the Spirit, we might think of the other reading I read to you today from John chapter 3. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were known for their dependence upon trying to fulfill every last letter of God's law. And in order to do so, they even had to follow the tradition of the elders in order to fully define what God's law required so they might not accidentally miss something or fail to keep God's commandments. And what did Jesus say to him? "Unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God." And when Nicodemus questioned him, "Well, how can this be? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And so unless one is born again and comes to faith in Jesus Christ, he can't see the kingdom of God, nor can he be a part of the kingdom of God, because the flesh, our corrupted sinful nature, cannot keep God's law. Even if we agree God's law is good, we can't keep it. And unless one is born of the Spirit, he's not even going to agree that God's law is good, but many times he's going to question that law. Why does God require all this of me? You know, why does God demand so much that I can't do? We might become even angry at God. But when we are born of the Spirit, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe, as Jesus said, that, you know, that he was lifted up like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and we look to Jesus and his cross for mercy and forgiveness, all our righteousness was fulfilled in Jesus. His death on the cross was the payment for all our sins, because he had no sin. And so our sins were atoned for there on the cross. And when we look in faith to Jesus, all our sins and shortcomings are washed away. You know, it's kind of like the, you know, if any of you ever did that with a chalkboard, where you put the piece of chalk inside the layers of the eraser. And so as you're making the line, it's being erased when you drag it across. Well, that's how it is for us as Christians. We continually fail to measure up because as long as we're in this life, we have our sinful nature, which cannot keep God's law. But Jesus kept it for us, and he paid the price for our sins. And so as we fail, the crookedness in our line is immediately erased by the shed blood of Jesus. And God accepts our works as perfect and righteous in his eyes. If it wasn't for that, there's not a single thing we could do in life, no matter how good it looks to the world and even to the rest of us, none of it would measure up to what God requires in his law. Because as it says, you know, what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You know, the law is good. The commandments truly reveal the will of God and what is good and right. But because of our sinful nature, the law cannot save us. If we could keep the law, we could be saved by the law. But none of us can keep the law, because the law demands so much more than just an outward form of obedience. It demands purity of heart, purity of our thoughts, a pure and perfect love for God, and a pure and perfect love for our fellow man. And not only are we not to do what is forbidden in the commandments, it implies that we are to do what is commanded, what is urged upon us in the commandments. But for us as Christians, even though we continually fail and continually come short, our lines that we mean to be straight are crooked, yet there's no condemnation. God does not condemn us because we are in Jesus Christ. His lines are straight. He was perfect and without sin, and his shed blood covered all our sins and shortcomings. So what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, if we walk after the flesh, then we have to keep all of God's commandments perfectly ourselves in order to measure up. But when we walk in the Spirit and place our faith in Jesus and his cross, all our sins are washed away. And we heard that in our confession and absolution today, where the scriptures plainly teach us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we say what God says about our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that he is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so when we trust in Christ, when we are born of the Spirit of God, all our sins are continually washed away, and our works are acceptable in God's eyes. And if you think about the burden of trying to please God in the flesh, you know, it's why the Pharisees had all these extra laws. You know, you have to do it just this way. You know, a Sabbath day's walk. Well, what's a Sabbath day's walk? Let's figure it out from how far the tabernacle was from the furthest tent when Israel camped in the wilderness, and we'll define that. You know, you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath day, and so you better not rub kernels of grain in your hand and eat them. They were so intent on keeping every last letter of the law because they were in their flesh. And in fact, when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day, they were furious because he was breaking the letter of the law, because they were trying to keep the law, the letter of the law, in the flesh. As believers, we agree that the law is good and right and reveals God's word. We understand better than those in the flesh what the law really requires of us. But we trust that Jesus kept it for us, that he paid for our sins. And so we seek to keep the law of God and to walk in God's ways, but we don't add all kinds of extra traditions and things in order to make sure we keep it to the very last letter. We trust in Jesus and his cross for forgiveness and life. That is one of the reasons I was concerned with directions for the liturgy and things. You know, if you want to do it right, you need to do it this way, as though somehow by doing, you know, wearing all the right vestments and turning the right way and making the sign of the cross at the right time and doing all these things, that was doing it right. Well, that is really going back to the works of the flesh, what we do to make it acceptable to God. How thankful I am that though my worship, our worship, comes so far short of what God's law requires, that God accepts our worship through the shed blood of Jesus, that all our sins are washed away in his blood, and that we are made acceptable in the beloved, and God receives us and receives his worship. And no matter how off key we might be, no matter how bad, you know, things may sound, to God it's beautiful, because all the impurities are washed away in the shed blood of Jesus. And so also with all our works for the Lord, when we are seeking to live for the Lord and do what he requires, God accepts them, and they are perfect and straight in his eyes, because in Jesus, our failings, our sins are washed away, and we are made acceptable in God's eyes. And so that's why it says, you know, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so those who are trying to please God are all concerned about all the things that they do, they need to do in order to please God, where we rejoicing in the fact that Jesus has done it all for us, that in him we have forgiveness and life. To be carnally minded is death. None of us can live up. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To trust in Jesus gives life, because we have forgiveness for our sins. God accepts us as his own dear children. He regards all our works as righteous and acceptable in his eyes for the sake of Jesus and his shed blood. And we have peace with God. If you're in the flesh, never do your works amount to enough. You always have to do more, and you have to make sure everybody else is following these rules so that they do more in order to be acceptable. But it's never enough, because nothing we can do will ever make our worship, our our service to God pure in his eyes. It's only what Jesus has done for us. It explains further, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so our sin-corrupted nature, our carnal mind, you know, is at enmity with God. It can't be subject to the law of God. It can never measure up. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so if we are depending upon our flesh, we can never please God. But ye are not in the flesh, it says, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And Paul explains, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And so, if we are Christian, we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. And he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so if we trust in Jesus, we regard our body as dead. It was crucified on the cross of Jesus. And the Spirit gives us life because of righteousness. Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness for us. And it says, and if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so our mortal bodies, which are subject to death and decay, when the Spirit of God dwells in us, as he raised Jesus from the dead, so also he raises up us up from spiritual darkness and death and gives us life and continues to give us life so that we love God and seek to live for him and to serve him. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so the sons of God are not just those who say, you know, I was baptized, I believe, but the sons of God are those who follow the Holy Spirit, which means to trust in Jesus alone for forgiveness and life, to acknowledge and confess our sins, and to begin to look to Jesus' shed blood for forgiveness, to seek the help and aid of God, the Holy Spirit, to walk in God's ways. And it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This kind of takes us back to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if we are going to live after the flesh, going to bring death. If we trust in Jesus and follow his Spirit, we have life. And it explains, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a beautiful passage. As believers in Jesus who have God's Spirit, we have not been placed under the law with the demand that we need to keep every last commandment perfectly and, you know, in order to please God, because we can't. But rather, as it says, we've received the spirit of adoption. God has adopted us as his children. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, that we have been made children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have become God's children, and we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a, I believe, an Aramaic word, which is kind of a personal word for father. It's kind of like, you know, many children have a name for their father, whether it be dad or daddy or papa, you know, some intimate term that they use for their father. Well, we can address God as our dear father, knowing that he accepts us as his dear children because of what Jesus has done for us. And of course, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit assures us that we are God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And so God's Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus. God's Spirit assures us of forgiveness in Jesus. God's Spirit moves us to live for Jesus. And God's Spirit continues to bring us to the cross of Jesus for mercy and forgiveness, and then again strengthen us that we might go on and live in faith. And so a beautiful passage, knowing that when we trust in Jesus, when we are born again by the Spirit of God, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We may not measure up according to the perfect standard of God's law, but we measure up according to the perfect fulfillment of God's law and the perfect atonement for our sins. So God accepts us. God accepts our works, and we can rejoice and call God our dear, dear Father. Amen. I ask you to please stand, and if you would turn in your hymnal to page 192, we will sing the offertory, which are the words of David in Psalm 51. Continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. Again, I invite you to please stand and join in prayer. Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly, and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting.
Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and the faithful pastors and missionaries everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the nations and peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers, that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seek to walk in your ways, that your judgment may be turned away, and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today Linda, Joyce, Matthew, Carl, Harley, Richard, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to those oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory. For the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. I ask you to please stand. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 794, "The Lord My God Be Praised."
Seated. Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm still working on a way to do Jonah. I haven't decided whether to do it as one entire book or to split it up, and I may split it up. But I'll be doing some recordings here and hopefully get started this week, or if not this week, the next week. Any other announcements this morning? If not, God's richest blessings to you and your Lord Jesus. Thank you.